97.5 Glory FM, your radio station for North Georgia news, sports, and weather, and we bring you Southern Gospel's greatest hits. Time once again for Community Focus, our public affairs program. And this morning, live in our studio is Representative Emery Donahue, who's going to be talking about some bills coming up in January, but also talking about his future there in the Georgia General Assembly. Good to see you, friend.
Well, Mike, as always, it is good to see you, and I think it's been probably about a year. I apologize, but I've gotten to the point to where too many times I have meetings every day and I forget my old friends, and I do apologize for that.
We're talking about yesterday that the story broke yesterday that he will not be running for re-election in his District 31 position that he's held for the last couple of years. And I asked him, I said, what's the big news? Because you told me a year and a half ago that you were going to run again. And then you said...
Well, what happened was I'd prayed... When we had a new district, I said, Lord, you know, it's pretty simple. If you want me here, keep me here. If I win this election, I will go ahead and consider not running. And what happened? I won. And then I said, Lord, if no one qualifies against me, what I'll do is this will probably be my last
time.
But probably is always something that we put and inject in there, because you never know if... If I said, Lord, this will be my last time, it could have been intentions for me to be here.
Uh-huh.
And with that, you weigh in your mind continuously, well, I've got this on the agenda, I've got that on the agenda, and if I go the way politics runs, then it might never happen. And then it just kept in his quiet time to where it was like, I'm in charge, I know everything, you're the faithful tool that has passed through what you've done. I don't need you anymore. And I'm kind of like, well, okay, I will do it in my own time.
And I thought, was somebody going to run against you anyway for this upcoming time?
Oh, yes. Well, I do have a primary right now.
Uh-huh.
I have a guy that's running. Actually, he's a friend, but he had looked at wanting to run. And when he knew that I still hadn't completely threw in the towel, he wanted to wait until I had. But he decided he better get in and start at least knocking on doors. And that's what happened. And he you know, there'll be other people. I had a couple reach out yesterday that said, if you were in the race or if you were still going to be in the House, I had no desire to run because we trust you. However, now you'll start seeing people kick the can.
All right, our guest this morning on Community Focus is Emery Donahue, who is the District 31 representative to the Georgia General Assembly. So tell me this, when all the years you have served, when it comes to serving, is the big thing just being in the General Assembly in the House, or is it really working in that specific district?
You know, with me, it's a little different, believe it or not. I still represent Hall County because I represented Hall County for basically 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
With that 12 years, I now have mostly Jackson County, but I still have all the constituents for all those years call me. Now, they have a different rep. They call him some, too. They're just used to calling me, so they call me, plus all of Jackson County that I deal with. I have constituents that are Chairman Hawkins' constituents, Matt Dubnit's constituents, and they call me because they know me.
Mm-hmm.
They, in fact, they had two this morning. It took a little more time for me almost to be late. I said, you know, I've got to get out of here, but these were other constituents of other people. But one of them, I solved the problem with a phone call. The other one is in the process. I've even had people from Valdosta, Georgia, call me this past week, and they were needing help with an issue that they could not get their representative to call them back.
Mm-hmm.
So I made two phone calls and solved the problem. So I look at it for the whole state of Georgia. However, my number one priority is Hall and Jackson.
All right, so let everybody know again the reason that you're not going to be running for re-election.
You know, one of the main reason is I pretty much figured it's time for somebody else. However, there's still things, loose ends, that I want to tie up. And I've had some health problems the last 3-4 years. My lower back had been giving me continuously trouble. I started decompression with a friend here in Gainesville. Started actually working. Good friend of mine and yours, Wendell Couch, went through a process of a terrible back. After 40 decompressions, his back was like healed. I went through 10. The back is 50% better. However, my right arm needs a shoulder replacement. Well, my left arm, I fell 5 weeks ago at Gainesville High football game, tore everything in the shoulder. It was still a bad shoulder from too much ball and heavy weightlifting. Well, when I tore it, I can't use my arms, either one really. I eat like a caveman because you only have so much movement. And I started realizing, well, you know, I have to do something. So 2 weeks ago, I had major, major shoulder surgery. And in the next 7 to 8 months, I'll have to do the replacement. So with all that, I think the good Lord was saying, okay, now it's time for you to do what you pretty much said you're going to do, and that's walk away. And I announced yesterday, just to get it out there to where people could start to look at running, to give the opportunity for anybody that wanted to try to do this job to step up. And that's basically how it really come together. And that was actually Tuesday morning in my quiet time when everything was like written on the mirror.
So the thing about it is, well, you'll call it politics, government work, service works, is that we have a primary next May with the qualifying taking place in March, but there have been people who talk past month. We're looking at a good 6 months between now and the time qualifying takes place. But it takes reason people ask a question about, well, why they're doing it now is just getting their name out there and getting some support with money also, right?
You're right. And, you know, and this almost sounds arrogant, and I never want to be that guy, but you're going to have a 67% chance of not beating me. Think about that. If I go and it's like gambling, you do not have that good a chance. But as an incumbent that is well known, an incumbent has a 67% chance at the poll somebody will push their name over someone that's newly running. So with that, the money you raise, I can't raise money during session. The other person can. I have to look at, it's a plan. I put up campaign signs. I've always done it myself, somewhere around 400 big signs to 450, 800 small signs, billboards, speaking to whatever event I need to speak to. And with what's going on with the physical part, I can't do that. Plus, money, I'm okay. If somebody runs, they have to raise a good bit of money. And that sounds kind of like, well, again, that's an arrogant way of saying it, but I'm just sharing the truth. People have believed in me, and these aren't all lobbyists. There's a few lobbyists, but people have believed in me, Mike, and they have written me checks. And in my companies I own, I supported school systems. I supported certain organizations. There's things that I've been blessed to do, and it came out of one or two or three of my businesses. Now I support my local people with campaign money to support school systems, to support different programs, and that's something that is a blessing. So with that, I take it seriously, and again, I've been blessed to
move on. One of the biggest things, though, Henry, you talk about, you know, being incumbent, having the advantage, is that the job you do will help you as an incumbent, because if you don't do a good job, then people are going to say, okay, we need somebody else in there.
That's the way it should be. And you and I know that, but the problem is, how many times do we watch this person get reelected, and we have certain people that are reelected that believes Guam will flip over if you put too many tanks and airplanes on one side of an island. And we look at that stupidity. And people still go and vote the person in, and I didn't call a name because I've called it 4,000 times.
That's on the federal level, not on the state level, thank goodness.
But in the state, if you look at it, we have the same people. We have some people that
are some out there,
And we have some great people. I tell people all the time. Question that is asked to me, how do you deal with these crazy Democrats?
Well, there are also some Republicans, too, aren't there, that you deal with?
Here's what I tell them. Well, wait a minute now. I break bread with a lot of my very good friends who are Democrats.
Yep.
We just agree to disagree. However, there's a handful of crazies on the left, but let's turn the mirror. There's a handful of crazies on the right.
Uh-huh.
So with that, people will say, well, nobody tells us that. The media doesn't cover it properly.
Mm-hmm. I guess his Burnham Community Focus is Emory Donahue, who's going to be a regular citizen, I guess, coming up in 2026. He's not going to run for re-election, but he can help us out as a consultant, I'm sure, when it comes to political things going on here in the state of Georgia. You know, with that, so you've got one more session coming up in January. You've got the 40 days of the session starting in January, and there's one big reason that you want to stay in, and there's one particular bill you want to talk about.
Well, I have been blessed to passed two bills. We had one bill, Mike, called the fetal pain bill. And that was at 22 weeks that they figured studies had proved that the fetus understands pain. When we passed that bill, there's a long story that I have used as a testimony of how God opened the door from a Democrat killing the bills we had pro-life every year. Dame, and when you look at that, we had this guy switch over, and it's about Bible study, it's about at the Capitol, different things where this Democrat came to Bible study continuously. He was the smartest attorney we had at the Capitol that kept beating us. Once he switched over, the Lord saved him, he saved his family, and he switched over to the Republican Party. Then they ran against him, another candidate, and he lost. But he passed the fetal pain bill with Doug Collins. They teamed up together. We passed that bill at 22 weeks. Then we came up with the heartbeat bill. As we passed the heartbeat bill, what happened was we realized supposedly that the heart starts to beat 6 weeks. Simplicity tells people if the heart beats, it's life. When the heart doesn't beat, it's death. But the whole concept of God's word says life starts at conception.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we look at that, we're still murdering the unborn child every day. So my bill is called the Prenatal Equal Protection Act. That says that life starts at conception. We have no right to murder the unborn child. No matter what happens, God is in control, and we can't play God. This bill, I had people from, Arizona, Iowa, Missouri, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina. All these people came out. They were on podcasts talking about the bill. Four of them flew out to meet me at my farm. God had put me in their hearts to carry the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we went through the process 3 years. Last year, we had a hearing on the bill. And Jeff Durbin is a pastor. He has a podcast in Arizona. He is one that is behind this bill pretty strong. And we had it heard last year. So this year, we're praying and we're trying to open the door to where we can have a hearing, but not only a hearing to pass the bill out, put it before the House members, let them go on record voting for it or against it,
mm-hmm.
and then hopefully get into the Senate.
So what's the difference between this bill and the personhood bill that was introduced a few years ago?
The personhood bill is where we decided on the heartbeat bill.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty much considered the personhood bill. But what happens is politics steps in the way.
Uh-huh.
Politics is called negotiation. Instead of saying that we are saying the unborn child is a person and moving forward, we said, oh, no, wait a minute. Oh, my goodness. What about the life of the mother? Do you realize 0.0.1% has ever been associated with the life of the mother. Mm-hmm. But we never advertise that. Well, wait a minute. What if there's rape and incest? God has a plan for that child.
Mm-hmm.
And that child, unborn child, did nothing to be murdered because of the sins of the parents or the adults. Then we started looking, well, what about IVF? What about you're taking eggs and saying that you can't destroy these eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's look at the facts. We can take eggs and put them in 10 platforms. There's a small percentage that one will be fertilized. The rest didn't take. What does that tell you? There's a couple of people that are making a fortune and promising you we're going to produce a child.
Mm-hmm.
You get lucky, you might have 2 eggs fertilized out of 10. You might have 1, you might have 0. So if you have 0, what do? We do it all over again. So we have eggs frozen and sitting here for years, never been used. And the people at IVF will come in and say, well, we have to continuously have the right to use these eggs. And basically, if they're fertile and you're not using them, you're taking a life. And we're looking at that a little bit stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But we started 2 years ago. I had 4 people sign the bill. So finally, one morning at the Capitol, in my quiet time, I was sitting there, and the Lord put the perfect timing. If you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. So that day, boldly, I went to my colleagues and said, hey, would you want to sign this bill? We've talked about the bill, but now if you're lukewarm, don't sign it.
Mm-hmm.
But do not dare tell people you're pro-life. Tell them you're lukewarm pro-life. And I had people look at me, almost a challenge. And Mike, you know me for many years. I'm not a bully. I've never picked on anybody, but I don't tolerate foolishness. And with it, we went up to 24 people signed the bill. But remember, there's 180 in the House.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to all the other lukewarm people? Some are scared to death that they might not get reelected.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I ever worry about anything I do if it's right that I might not get reelected?
Isn't it the biggest thing?
It is. Mm-hmm. It's simple, but I hear that so much to where that's another relief I have from not running. It's just say, you know what? It's God's will.
Isn't it one of those things when you hear, like, the best preaching you're going to hear is when a pastor's not afraid to get fired?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's right.
And what you're looking at right now, okay, you're basically a lame duck from the standpoint. And that's when stuff gets done.
That's right. I like the part of going in, and it's not like the bull in the china shop, because that bull destroys a whole lot of good inventory.
Mm-hmm.
What I like to do is go in and challenge and say, listen, this is leadership from the governor down. I support you, but I elect you. You do not elect me. And when you start with that attitude, what you're doing is you're simply letting people know that I'm here for the constituents who elect me, for the best of Georgia, the best of my community. And sometimes the values I see in my local neighborhood, it's a little different from the whole state view of a handful of people up the ladder.
All right, don't you see this bill being probably the most important piece of legislation coming up in January?
To me, it would be the number one legislation, and we should be looking at things like this if we're conservative Republicans. But then again, Republicans look at this as, well, in certain districts, we barely are winning.
Uh-huh.
We might win by 1 point. We might win by 32 votes. If we push this, we'll lose that seat. I'm not worried about losing a seat. I know God is in control if we do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. So I always ask this question since I've been here, is that explain to our listeners with this bill and why there is laws in the state of Georgia. If there is a pregnant woman who is either murdered or she's in a traffic accident and her child dies. She might live, but her child dies. Or if she were to die, there'd be like a double murder. They would call it two different deaths. So the state of Georgia looks at it in one respect differently. If no matter how pregnant the woman may be, is that they look at that child inside her being somewhat of importance to say they're going to be charging whomever the killed that child with murder.
I have used that example probably 2,000 times. I'm walking down the street, my wife's pregnant. Someone shoots my wife, and she dies, mm-hmm. and the child dies.
Correct.
Now that person is charged with two murders, the life of the unborn child mm-hmm. that has a heartbeat, the life of my wife, who was a living soul. So then when we look at it, we turn the table and say, but, big word is but. If this unborn child is murdered in a clinic or through proper means within the law, mm-hmm. then everything's okay.
Uh-huh.
But then if the mother goes in of her own free will and has this, she's just committed murder and there's no accountability. In this bill, it holds accountability for people that have aborted 3, 4, 5, 6 kids,
mm-hmm.
7 kids. We have testimony of people that have come in and said, I worked at an abortion clinic.
Mm-hmm.
After work this summer, we had a speaking engagement with a lady that worked there for years. And then she started realizing what actually was going on. And she becomes a Christian. She has 8 kids now, and she travels the whole country talking about pro-life versus she thought she was doing a medical service mm-hmm. for women. And she realized real quick when she had to look at an ultrasound, look as they went in with the instrument to kill the child, that the child moved and avoided the danger within the womb. And she said it changed her whole life at that time.
We're talking with Emory Donahue, who is a District 31 representative to the Georgia General Assembly, talking about this important bill taking place in January, but also about his decision not to run for re-election in 2026. I got to ask you this, buddy. We wrap things up here in a couple of minutes. To me, you could be like a Charlie Kirk to the Georgia General Assembly and say, okay, prove me wrong from that standpoint. Let's have a discussion. And you always talk about, you know, you could disagree, but be agreeable in that standpoint. Talk to our listeners about what you can do, even from that standpoint, with your faith and how you can really make change some ideas down in Atlanta.
You know, it's kind of the attitude that we look at. We're supposed to stand tall while on our knees. So if you look at that, if I'm 6 foot, and I'm 6 foot and everybody around me is 5'2", 5'4", whatever, I'm considered tall. But then there's 6'8", 6'9", people like that, they're tall. But once they bring themselves to their knees, they become small. But where I'm going with this is it's called being humble. Charlie Kirk was humble. I can go in, be humble, use the knowledge that I know, and work with people to try to, on the sideline, push legislation that God is in, and it is basically something like the bill that I have or what we need to accomplish. Now, when I do that, you have to be bold, but you still have to be humble when you approach people. I can't carry a big stick, knock you upside the head, and then tell you, hey, I need you to vote with me or I need you to look at something. That's something that I hope I will have the avenue to meet with legislators, to talk to them, even when I have to push their district with somebody else to run against them that has a mindset if they're not going to do what they should do and what they're elected to do.
And one thing about it finally is that nobody can qualify until almost the session is over, and according to how quickly you run through the session,
right.
And it always runs a little quicker during an election year, is that, okay, you can say, you know, if see someone's not doing what they should be doing, say, let's go ahead and primary them coming up in May of next year.
You know, the biggest problem is leadership has a lot of money. Leadership will pick people they want.
Uh-huh.
That's gone through their chamber. And when I say their chamber, it's a little safety room that they ask the proper questions. Do you believe this? Can you do this? Can you do that? Well, you know, yes, I can do 8 out of 10 things they ask me to do because I agree with them. But there's certain lines I will not cross. And I've done that since I've been there. There's certain lines I'll say, no, I'm sorry. We'll agree to disagree. I can't support that. And I want to see people that can do that, that will stand up. And you're not disagreeing with the speaker nor the governor when you disagree. You're just saying, let's look at my side of the view. Because I wasn't privileged to sit in your little meeting with your 5 or 6 people that are advising you on what's best for the state of Georgia. And then sometimes they get the arrogance in where their feelings are hurt. I don't worry about that. I've never worried about that, and I never will.
That's why you were redistricted a few years ago, and then you see what you've been able to accomplish even when you were redistricted.
Hard work. That's the main thing, is outwork your competition. You'll always win.
Always try to do here. Friend, thank you very much. Appreciate all you do. You're always welcome. You know, because we've got you maybe come in the future to be a political consultant for us. How about that?
Well, that's something we can look at. I thank you very much. And it's been a pleasure. And you and I go way, way, way back. And you were always a lot better looking and taller and all that good stuff.
We know
a lot
better than
smarter.
That.
But
hey, there's still, you know, 40 days we can talk, you know, to you during the session,
yes,
especially with this bill, you know. So there's a lot more we can talk about.
We can talk about a lot more, and then we continuously follow it down, even when I'm out.
Talk about the grandkids, that kind of thing.
We can do it. Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it very much. That's Emory Donahue this morning on Community Focus, our public affairs program on 97.5 Glory FM.